We certainly consider slavery part of history, and officially it is in the United States. It has not been legal since the Civil War 150 years ago. But keeping other people under control for economic purposes is by no means forgotten. In fact, it still goes on in much of the world and is still present here. Human trafficking is an issue for people and police. This month is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, so we'll do our part to get aware in this next few minutes. Faith Morse is with us in the studio here. She's an attorney. She works with Oath Oregonians Against Trafficking Humans. Faith, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And we also have with us from the Medford Police Detective Jim Williams. Welcome back to The Exchange.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Steve Raycraft is with us as well. He's with ACT Southern Oregon. ACT stands for Abolish Child Trafficking.
Correct.
All right. Good morning, to have you all here. Why don't we start with you, Detective Jim Williams, and give us some idea of just how prevalent human trafficking may be in the area. When we talk about human trafficking, for that matter, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about anybody that uses force, uses fraud, coercion, to have another person engage, and in this particular engagement, it would be sexual conduct for money.
So basically, they're captives for sex purposes.
They are. And not often being held captive in the sense like they're being tied up, or, but most of it is by coercion or force or fraud that they're being held captive. So they've been promised something, they've been offered something in exchange for their services.
It sounds like indentured servitude in the historical sense, where if you work for me for a certain amount of time, you'll get to go free, but that never seems to happen. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And historically, we do have the indentured servitude where people had to work to get what they wanted. In this particular case, usually it's a boyfriend that's asked a girlfriend to engage in sexual act for, you know, we'll have a better lifestyle, we'll have the things we want, and you're going to trade your services for money.
And do we have any idea how often this happens? I mean, how many cases a year do you get at Medford Police, for example?
Well, statistically, our statistics are low, but you asked how often it happens? Every day. 365 days a year, around the clock.
Mm-hmm. And how about in Medford? Do you have cases? I mean, and for that matter, what does the crime fall under? I mean, there must be different realms of crimes you can charge people under.
There are. You have mostly the human trafficking side would come into compelling prostitution or promoting prostitution would be what we would investigate for the trafficker. Oftentimes, historically, we would look at the people engaged in the sexual trade or the prostitution side of that. And, you know, we would have prostitution. You would arrest people for prostitution. Law enforcement has taken a change, taken a look at that, and really a paradigm shift in the sense that we need to look at the folks that are engaging in the services are truly victims in this. And when we look at the historical side or the backside of this, is we look at that the a huge percent of the girls, and that's what we're talking about, there are a percentage of men that are involved with this, but the girls have been sexually abused, physically abused, or have abuse in their background. And they make a victim, and somebody that is a trafficker is able to really take advantage of that and continue that victimization.
Faith Morse, tell us a bit about your group, Oregonians Against Trafficking Humans, and how long it's been around and what your goals are.
Well, we're an organization that is...
Hang on a second. I'm going to ask Steve Raycraft to answer that question about ACT Southern Oregon. I have to trace the microphone wire and see if we have a good connection on Faith's microphone. So, Steve, same question about ACT Southern Oregon and what your group is about.
ACT Southern Oregon is based out of River Valley Community Church in Grants Pass. We've been in existence going on 3 years now, and the focus is awareness. We want to make this issue something that's recognized, that's talked about, that people are aware of, and we really want to focus on education primarily, a big focus on being able to get the word out to our kids who are at risk. And however we can do that, we want to educate parents, to educate children. We want to get it some component into our school systems. And we want the kids to be able to be aware of the dangers that are out there and how it works so they can protect themselves.
All right, we got Faith Morris onto a working microphone. She's sharing now with Detective Jim Williams. Tell us a bit about Oregonians Against Trafficking Humans.
Well, we're a subset of the Oregon Human Trafficking Task Force, and we are really the awareness-raising branch. Our goal is to raise awareness of the issue of human trafficking, both labor trafficking and sex trafficking, and by raising awareness to develop the community response and improve the situation.
All right, so labor trafficking is something we're hearing about now for the first time in this program, as opposed to sex trafficking. And this is for, it sounds like, things other than sex?
Certainly. Labor trafficking is a really broad problem, and it is, in fact, very prevalent. Usually it is in massage parlors, restaurants. You find them on farms, in agriculture sectors. Usually it's somebody who's being brought in from a foreign country and is working for no money, sometimes very little money. Their passports have been confiscated. This is where you actually see people being held in bondage.
So, Jim Williams, is there a particular demographic? I mean, who are the people? You mentioned that it's primarily females, but it is sometimes male. So if somebody is being human trafficked, are they usually between a certain age range, a certain ethnicity? I mean, how broad is this or how narrow is it?
Yeah, nationally speaking, I believe the age is about 15 to 16 years old is what we're seeing in the minors that are being trafficked. And that's really the runaway age also. When you're starting to look at folks that run away, they're usually in that age bracket. We have cases documented around the nation down to 8 years old. And then we also have adult victims who've been trafficked.
All right. That explains then what you're doing, Steve Raycraft, at ACT Southern Oregon, abolish child trafficking. It often is child trafficking then.
Yes. It's really a hot button. And the average age nationwide is 13 years old for children to be trafficked. And we're talking about 100,000 up to 300,000 children a year, every year, that are being trafficked in this country. And so we're talking about some very large numbers of kids that this happens to.
Give us an example then. I mean, there must be a story that sticks in your mind, one of the ones that got you involved in the first place and made you go, oh boy, I've got to do something about this.
You know, just the very idea and the stories that I first heard were dramatic enough to get me concerned about how this works and what it actually is. But hearing stories from a couple of girls in Grants Pass, one of which is now a survivor advocate, and she grew up in Grants Pass as an honor student, graduated Grants Pass High School, wound up in Eugene, and was trafficked from Eugene. She was totally unaware of what was happening to her at the time. Again, it was a boyfriend situation who came alongside of her and her infant child and built a relationship and sold her all these dreams on what was going to happen with their life, the wonderful life that they were going to have together, and took her to Las Vegas, where as soon as they set up house, he started beating her and put her out into an escort service, and she was trafficked for 4 years after that.
Jim Williams, is there a lot of premeditation here? I mean, it's hard to believe that anybody would be that much aware of opportunities for trafficking a person who is ostensibly your partner.
I think that that's the only reason for the relationship oftentimes is they do premeditate, they do look, they evaluate the victim. So you'll see guys that'll go to a mall and they will just walk the mall looking for that person who looks like they're down and out, looking for a person who is a little bit beyond the norm as far as interacting with other people, and they will actually segregate that person and start to tell that person things that the person wants to hear, that they're beautiful, that they're a good person, and start building up their sense of – go ahead, Faith.
And let me see if that microphone works. Just give that one a try for a second.
These are sometimes –
no, it doesn't work. Let's go back to this. Sorry.
These are sometimes multi-person operations where they will literally hire a recruiter and pay a recruiting fee to go in and learn information about these girls, quite literally – well, I don't know if it's the legal definition of stalking, but they will follow these girls, learn about what they want, and then pass that information on to the man who acts as the front pimp. And he will come in and say, oh, wow, I'm so glad you want to go to Seattle. I want to move there, too. You're interested in nursing. That's so interesting. I have this other connection to that. They do their research in order to be able to draw these girls in and to develop that relationship, frequently for the sole purpose of eventually prostituting them or getting them into some other form of sexual exploitation. It is a very intentional, very premeditated process. And they're making a lot of money doing it because most of these pimps are not only using one girl.
We are talking about human trafficking here on the Jefferson Exchange with Faith Morse from Oregonians Against Trafficking Humans, or OATH, Detective Jim Williams of the Medford Police, and Steve Raycraft from ACT Southern Oregon, which stands for Abolish Child Trafficking Southern Oregon. You can join us here on the Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. It sounds like this has been going on for quite some time. Are we just starting to use the term trafficking in recent years, Jim Williams?
I believe so. I believe that it's really coming to light. I think a lot of what's bringing it to light is the fact that we have survivors that are coming out and speaking. And these are ladies that have been victimized. These are men that have been victimized as maybe a teenager, who have now come out and are speaking against their traffickers. I think it is something that is relatively new in today's day and age, but historically I think it's been going on for the years.
Steve Raycraft, you mentioned some of the people who have come forward, people who, for the Grants Pass High School graduate you mentioned. How difficult is it for them after the fact to come out and talk about this? And for that matter, when they talk about it, how long did it take them to become aware of the situation they were in?
That's a loaded question. There's so many different levels. Let me just say this, and that is the average lifespan of someone that enters into and is trafficked is 7 to 9 years. Just surviving trafficking in the first place is unlikely.
So they're in it 7 to 9 years.
Yeah, well, they're dead in 7 to 9 years.
They're dead in 7 to 9 years.
I'm talking about lifespan.
Right.
Murder, suicide, drug overdose. It's a very dangerous world that these people live in, and they are throwaway people. They essentially have no value to anyone except their trafficker, who, once they start getting older, is of less and less value. Mm. And coming out of that situation, the psychological damage that happens to these people is extreme. They have been raped, you have to understand, over and over and over every single day of their life that they have been in this situation and have been trafficked. That's the typical scenario. And they realize they're throwaway people with no value. They look at themselves as completely separate from the rest of society. They're nothing more than horrors. And they know this in their heart. They've been reinforced by the customers and by the pimps and traffickers. And they've been told that every single day of their life. They've been beaten and abused. They have been looked at and looked down on by the rest of society. And they don't feel part of the rest of the world. So coming back to the world and saying, hey, look what happened to me, is a totally foreign concept. They feel so divorced from the rest of the world. And the trauma that is, PTSDs are extremely common, the same as a soldier would have returning from a combat situation. And oftentimes they look at their pimp, their trafficker, as a boyfriend. They don't even realize essentially what has happened to them. They've bought the lie of the life that they've been living for the past number of years and the relationship they thought they had.
So it sounds like, Jim Williams, that you'll say to people, well, you know, we're taking you in because you've been a victim of human trafficking. And they'll say, what?
Absolutely.
You get that response?
Absolutely. We have an opportunity to sit down and talk to a young lady that has been victimized in human trafficking. And it is oftentimes we will never get them to say, oh, my trafficker is in that room over there. They'll lie for the trafficker. They will take an arrest for the trafficker. They will do whatever they can to protect that person, because the alternative is, if they give up the trafficker, what they've been told is, I will beat you, I will hurt you, we will take your family. And then add in the fact that some of these ladies that have been victimized have children. They've had children by their trafficker, so they're saying, you'll never see your child again. Your life will be terribly affected if you say anything. So there is a lot of fear.
And Faith Morse, do we have any idea what the numbers are in the state of Oregon?
We have some idea because we have started looking into this issue just recently.
But it's really rough estimates by the sounds of it.
Right. I can give you one number, and let me give you the context for the number. We wanted to have an idea of what was going on. So in Oregon, we looked at data from police stations. We looked at data from DHS, from the foster care systems, and we quickly realized that the police, just generally speaking, had not been trained on how to collect this kind of data, so that was not useful. But DHS and the foster care system did have some usable data. And what they found was that in Multnomah County alone, for just children who had gone through the DHS system, they found, I believe the number was 486 unique cases of children who had been trafficked. Now, that's a pretty small data set, because we're talking about just children who have been through DHS.
That's the Department of Human Services, which is the foster care system.
Yes. And 486 up in the Multnomah County area alone. That's a very, very small percentage of what we believe is going on in Oregon. And part of the reason these numbers are so hard to count is, one, these children are frequently what are called throwaway children. They're runaways. They're teens that have had a disturbed past. They're homeless. They're difficult to keep track of. And the traffickers move them around. The I-5 corridor from Seattle down to L.A. has been called the Kitty Corridor, because these traffickers like to pick the kids up, take them somewhere else where they're away from their support system, where they aren't familiar with how to get around, they don't know any of the authorities, and they can be kept disoriented and away from any support structure other than what the pimp offers them.
Because the pimp is the support structure, then. The pimp is the family. You
right.
You take people who are vulnerable and lonely and move them away from whatever support they had.
Exactly. And so part of the reason why the numbers in Oregon appear to be so low is our children are being taken to Vegas. Our children are being taken to California. And that's where they're being found, which is not coming back to Oregon. Because those are the larger markets and where it's easier. And if they're out of state, it's really hard for them to come back home.
Steve Raycraft, you look like you have something to say here.
And everything that Faith said is exactly true, with the exception that this also happens to stable kids from stable homes who
Absolutely.
Make the wrong choice, given a situation that where someone approaches them, again, with that dream, that relationship, something that appears to be just what they're hoping and dreaming for. And so there are stories out there galore. There's a video that's been produced to be shown to middle and high school students from Shared Hope International called Chosen, 20-minute video. We're trying to get that out to schools. And it was shown this past week in Grants Pass to a mixed audience of students and parents. Young girl living at home, honor student, into sports, going to youth group at church, and in the eighth grade. And she was trafficked. And she was from a stable home. The woman, the girl who from Grants Pass, who graduated Grants Pass High School, a stable home. She wasn't abused. Even though 70% of kids who are trafficked have been abused, this girl wasn't abused. She was just looking for that relationship and a father for her daughter and that dream of a life that she wanted. And those stories go on and on. The other girl in the Chosen video, an honor student, graduating early, working at a diner where a spotter came in and stalked her, got information that was used against her. Very stable kids, not abused, and living in a stable home situation. Very intelligent. I mean, a lot of the women I've seen as survivors coming out of this are extremely intelligent young women. But they have a vulnerability that opened the door, and the trafficker, these guys are extremely intelligent themselves, and they know the buttons to push and where to go and how to manipulate women, children.
So Faith Morris?
If I can add to that, one of the ways that they will do that is they will get a teenage girl to do something, frankly, stupid online, flash their chest, a sexually suggestive photograph, and then they will use that to blackmail the girl into doing more and more and more until eventually they have this girl convinced that she's worthless, that all she's ever going to be is this terrible person, and that the pimp is offering her the best option.
So if we're looking for warning signs of trafficking, human trafficking, what are we going to look for? Because it sounds like in a lot of situations, these are not necessarily going to be the people who are living next door to you.
They certainly could be. And I think that some of the warning signs that we see have to come out with people just paying attention. So if you're in the mall and you're walking around and you see somebody that doesn't fit, and is talking to young people, I think that's got to be a warning sign. That's got to be something that, that as citizens we need to step up and at least take notice. Oftentimes, these children are being trafficked out of hotels or motels. And if you are residing for a night in a hotel and you see the room across the hall from you and it's got men coming in and out of the room and there's young people in there, that's got to be something that, that needs to be brought to somebody's attention.
You see, do you bring it to the motel clerk's attention? Do you call the police? I mean, what's the proper approach there?
Well, we need to call the police. I mean, oftentimes we get calls a couple of weeks later. Hey, I got to thinking about this. Last week I was at the hotel and this came about and I thought about it. And now we're behind the ball. Now we have to try to investigatively figure out who was in that room. And by that time, they've moved on. They've gone down to the next city or the next area that they're at. I think one of the things oftentimes that we don't talk about here is the person that is purchasing the sex. And when we start looking at this problem is because we have people who are wanting sex from young people, and that is against the law. That is wrong on a lot of levels.
There is a Human Trafficking in the Rogue Valley Awareness Forum coming up on Wednesday night, the 22nd of January at 7 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Ashland. And will you all be there? Was that, that's the
we
point?
Will.
Yep. All right. Steve Raycraft with ACT Southern Oregon, Detective Jim Williams with the Medford Police, and Faith Morse with OATH, Oregonians Against Trafficking Humans. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Thank you.